to be better.
Something I've been doing. Shker. Quite noisy. Okay. Okay, this week's parsha really is a hamshacha to the end of the last parsha, in which Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael about the Geula. Vayaminom. First, it says everybody believed. Vayaminom, and then it says. Pare tells the Shaitre Ha'om Tichpara Avoida to make the work harder. And at that point, Vayovu Shaitre Yisrael Vayizakuel Pare. So Klal Yisrael Shaitrim try on behalf of Klal Yisrael to implore Pare to make the work lighter, the workload lighter. And Pare says, no, Nirpimatem Nirpim Akinatem Oimim Melchot Nizbuchal Hashem. So the Shoitrim come to Moshe Rabbeinu with a taina that you not only you ruined the conditions. Since you went to Paroi, you ruined the conditions. Yishpoit Hashem, Asher Yivashtem, Esrichenu b'nei Paroi u'b'nei Avodov, Los Yischer v'yodom l'horgen. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to Rabbeinu Shalom, very strange. Me'oz bosi o Paroi l'daber b'shimcho heira lo mazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu was mamish, it's nirik mitich dvorm klapi mala. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Rabbeinu Shalom that hatzelo yitzalto es amecho, that you sent me to save Klal Yisrael, turned out things got worse. And Hashem says, atasira asher salapare b'yod chazok yishalchem. It's a pelu nifla that Moshe Rabbeinu should question the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a pella. How could this be that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNeviim, would question the Rabbeinu Shalom and say that you didn't do the gula? Hatzelo yitzalto. It's a pella. And Taka Chazal tell us that the Bikshu Amidis Hadin, they wanted to devour Moshe Rabbeinu for talking this way. He's like questioning that Hashem reversed what he said. The Rabbeinu Shalom then goes, he lost the power? Okay, Hashem then goes, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, for Eirael Avroham el Yitzchok vel Yaakov bekel Shakai ushmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. So, the Rabbeinu Shalom, instead of rebuking Moshe for what Moshe Rabbeinu did, he compares him to the others. He compares him to the others. He says, listen, I appeared to the others, Bekel Shakai, Shmi Hashem Le'nedati Lim Chaval. Instead of the Rabbeinu Shalom rebuking Moshe on face value for what Moshe Rabbeinu did, Moshe Rabbeinu questioned Hashem. Hashem sent him to Begoilas Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and he says, Me'oz Bosi, he made the situation worse. It would seem that this is a chet on any level. You don't have to compare him to the others. on any level, this should be a grand slam chet. But instead, for some reason, the Eibishter doesn't say a word about this. And the only taina Hashem has to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, you know what? You're not like the others. The others were special. You don't meet up to the others. The others were unique. Sounds like the Eibishter doesn't have a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. The others, they wouldn't have done this. And what about Stam? You and I?
Avram did, but obviously in a different way.
Yeah. With Stoim. Hashem didn't send Avram to save Stoim.
No, but how could you kill with Tzadikim? Half
Tzadikim Tzadikim Rosh. Fine, that's a question. That's Derech Tefillah. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says, you sent me to save them and you didn't do what you... He's questioning what Hashem told him he was going to do. That's a whole different level. It's a whole different level. That was to give over a Simon Labanov, as we had for the Medrash. Anyway, we go on, and so the parasha begins. Eibishter starts telling him, go back to power and everything. And then it says as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu makes the famous Kal Vachomer. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer Moshe al bnei Yisrael v'loishomu al Moshe mikoytz ruach u'me'avoy d'kosha. It says clearly, Klai Yisrael couldn't listen. They were so overwhelmed with work that they pasuk couldn't listen. They didn't listen. The pasuk says why. Now, if the pasuk says why, Moshe knew why too. Moshe knew these people are just too overwhelmed to be able to hear anything. Okay. Vayomer Moshe, vaydaber Moshe lifnei Hashem leimor, hein bnei Yisrael lo yishamu elai, veichishmeni paroi vanigas v'zayin. This is a kal vachomer Moshe Rabbeinu makes. Klai Yisrael couldn't hear what I had to say. How could Pari? Because Pari's sitting on his throne. Pari's not overworked. It just said, the Yidden couldn't listen to me because Mikoytze Guach may avoid the kosher. They were overwhelmed with work. I don't even look at that like an insult to Klai Yisrael. They pushed it. Pasuk seems to be Melamed Tzchus on Klai Yisrael saying, what's real different thing? If you were working like them, you wouldn't be able to think straight. What do you want from them? They couldn't hear. Fine. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that also. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu coming to Baruch Shem? Hey, b'nei Yisrael, l'shom o'ilai, v'eichish meni pari v'ani ha'as v'asayim. Klai Yisrael did not hear you because of ha'as v'asayim. They didn't hear you because koi tzeruach me'avoy d'kosh. Very difficult. Next. All of a sudden, response to that concept that Hashem said to Moshe. By the way, we don't find Hashem gets angry. Where Hashem says, what the chutzpah I told you to go. Because Moshe seems to be going right back into the same trap. Hashem's telling him to do something. Hashem is giving him rebuke that he didn't do what the others would have done. And his response to Rabbeinu Shalom is, B'nai Yisrael didn't listen to me. Pari's going to listen to me. He's going back into the same. This is all the same thing all over again. Rabbeinu Shalom gives no rebuke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk says like this, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Ve'el Aharon, Vayitzavim al bnei Yisrael ve'al pari melech Mitzrayim. Vayitzavim el pari al bnei Yisrael ve'al pari melech Mitzrayim. Lohitzi es bnei Yisrael melech Mitzrayim. This pasuk Chazal see is a very difficult pasuk to read. Because the one who has to send Klai Yisrael out is pari, not bnei Yisrael. So why does it say, Vayidabar Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon, Vayitzaveim el bnei Yisrael, commanding the bnei Yisrael, v'el pari melech Mitzrayim lo hitzis bnei Yisrael. It should say, el pari melech Mitzrayim, what's the bnei Yisrael? Famous Yerushalmi, the Rishonim here bring it down, the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi's in Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi says, this is talking about the parasha of Shiluach Avodim. We all have a mitzvah when Yovel was Noeg, that when Yovel comes, you have to send all the Avodim home. Can't keep you an Eved. Whether it's an Eved that's supposed to work for 6 years, whether it's an Eved that stays till Yovel. Yovel is v'krosem dror b'horetz l'chol yeshveho. Yovel, everything goes back to Avodim, go back. Okay? So Hashem, says the Medrash, Hashem commanded them here, that's what the Medrash is saying in the Yerushalmi. Hashem commanded them here on the parsha of Shiluach Avodim. Needless to say, that doesn't seem to have any connection to what we're talking about here. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, B'nai Yisrael not listen to me, how's Pari going to listen? Hashem sends Moshe back to Pari, but before sending Moshe back to Pari, he gives the Bnei Yisrael a mitzvah. And the mitzvah that he gives Bnei Yisrael is that the Bnei Yisrael should actually send prior, they should send their avodim out. Now, they're not even going to have this mitzvah. This mitzvah is not even going to be noeg. Because the mitzvah of shiluach avodim is only noeg b'zman shayoyvel noeg. It's not negeya now, and it's not negeya for many years, till we go to Eretz Yisrael, la'acha sheva shekivshu v'sheva shechilku. Many years, a couple of generations away, we'll be dealing with shiluach avodim. What's he telling them now, shiluach avodim? So I was always bafsut from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful idea, but it still doesn't explain it, its location here in the parish. I want to talk about the location. Chaim Shmulevitz says a yisoid. He says to send away an eved is a very hard thing. For a person to take an eved that he paid for, that's his eved, and to send him free is very hard. Even people, even a boss, has a hard time sending an employee home early. It's a hard time. And a guy called me not long ago. It was one of these days that the weather was schwach. And he wanted to know if he has to send back his employees. He has a place right here in New Jersey. And he said, he's worried about their safety on the one hand. On the other hand, he doesn't want to let them home early. But he feels if he keeps them later, they're going to have a dangerous ride home. And he says, Rabbi, I know what the answer is. I should send all the employees home now. A lot of them are Yidden. I should send them home now. He says, it's a shver. These guys are on my payroll. It's a shver. It's hard to send somebody home. That's to send somebody home a couple hours early. To go send an Eved free. So Chaim Shmulevitz says, the only time we could have really absorbed that is when we were Avadim. And we needed our own freedom. And at that point that we needed our own freedom, then we would understand, we could look at it from the Eved's perspective instead of from the Odin's perspective. That's what Chaim Shmulevitz's vault. It's a beautiful vault. That Hashem had to give us the mitzvah Shiluch Avadim while we were Avadim. Because if you talk to an Odin, he's brain dead. If you talk to an Odin and you tell him free your Eved, he doesn't hear you. He can't hear you. But if you talk to an Eved who wants freedom and you tell him, listen, one day when you have an Eved, you should make him free, he'll have an open ear. That's what Chaim Shmulevitz is about. So the idea that Chaim Shmulevitz says to me would have been miyashiv if, let's say, Hashem would have given us the parsha of Shiluach Avodim in Mitzrayim, together with Korban Pesach, together with Rosh Chodesh, I would have no problem. I would understand it perfectly well. Right? What's it doing here? Here we're holding Klaus, we're not even ready to hear about freedom. Klaus will hear, are not even ready to hear about Avdus and Cheres. So again, I understand the concept, but the location of it being over here is still difficult. Why does the Torah give us the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim over here? What's the pshat in that? So that's what I want to try to give a hezbollah, and perhaps we'll get clarity in the other nekudas. That's the Chassam Seif is going on last week's parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, "May Oz Bosi O Pari L'Daber Shimcha, Hey Galo Mazeh," and over there Rashi brings down. He's going. The Chassam Seif is going on Rashi. Ata Sire, you'll see what I did to Paroi, but you won't see what I will do in Eretz Yisrael. I was going this week's parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu made the Kavu Chemel, there is no Tanya brought down. Okay. So I want to be mavar to you is the following, and I think this will be a birur gadol in a lot of the inyanim here. We know that there's a klal that ein lecha ben choyrin elo mi she'osek b'Torah. This is perhaps one of the most difficult mishnayos in Shas of ein lecha ben choyrin elo mi she'osek b'Torah. We all know, I was telling the boys in the yeshiva a couple of weeks ago, I was giving them a novi shir about this. And I was telling them that in Yiddish, In Yiddish, we say somebody is not frum, we say he's frei. Frei means he's free. In Hebrew, when you say somebody is not religious, you could say a chiloni, and another word is a chofshi. Free. Now, I understand that. If the Mishnah would say, Ein lecha ben chorin elo mi she'enu yasek b'atara, I would understand that. Because the ultimate avdus, the ultimate slavery, is somebody who's an Eved Hashem. And Eved Hashem is the ultimate slave, because Hashem is the ultimate master. Hashem is the ultimate owner. And there isn't one sif in our life that doesn't have a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Right? And that's why the Yiddish expression is, the guy is fly. Because he has no commitments. He's not committed to anything. And that's why in Israel they call him a chofshi. But Chazal have a different eye. And that's why I always hate the term chofshi or frei. Because Chazal say, Ein lecha ben chorin, that means, Ein lecha seir in Ivrit, Ein lecha adam shehu chofshi, Elo mi she'osek b'Torah. So it's the opposite. It's the opposite. We should call the people that are Isik b'Torah chofshim. Because as he stated in Mishnah, Ein lecha ben chorin, Elo mi she'osek b'Torah. But the truth is that the Mishnah is very difficult. The term chofshi is understandable. Because yes, they have no commitment to anything. They can do what they want. So the way I explained it to the Talmidim is that nobody is free. Nobody is free. Everybody is a slave. Question is what you're a slave to. Every single person is a slave. That's the sugya in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Adam l'umal yulad, a person was created to be an omel, to toil, and we brought this down in Shal Shudas a couple of weeks ago, Eini yodeim l'umal malocha, im l'umal toira. We don't know where you're going to put your toil. Every person has commitments. Some commitments are self-imposed commitments. Some commit, but everybody has commitments and obligations. And you have social obligations. You have emotional obligations. No person can live in this planet without feeling an obligation. His own self-imposed obligations. So what's a free person? What's a free person? The emes is, you can look at a person in jail. He's free. Think about it. The guy in jail, especially if he goes to the camp over in Oz. He has sports facilities. He has food. He has no bills. Everybody's so worried about their bills. No bills. No bills. That's the word. Where's the next check coming from? Credit cards? Garnish. Machaya. Everything's taken care of.
He can't leave.
What? Can't leave what? He can't leave his freedom. Yes, he has everything. Leave what? Leave to misery? To go home and have pull your hair out of your head from your bills? It's a machaya. Guy has whatever he wants. Everybody understands that that guy who's in a federal prison, he feels like a slave. Feels like a prisoner. Feels like a prisoner because he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be there. And even though the person perhaps who's not in the prison is working harder and in a sense has more that he has to do to fend for himself, but he's doing what he wants. And then you could have a guy who's Yomim V'Laila working like a behemoth, but he's doing what he wants. Who would you say is free? The guy who's free is the one who has fulfillment in life, who's doing what who's happy with his obligations. Not a person who has no obligations. A person who has no obligations is miserable. People that have no obligations, they're miserable. They're miserable. I mean, they have no obligations. Because every person has in them chashekim and ritzonos. Ein lecha ben chorin elo mi she'osek b'Torah means that when a person is Isaac in Torah, it ends up that his commitments are things that he loves. When a person say, hey, I have commitments, I have my children, my grandchildren, I'm so committed. This is what I want. I want this commitment. That's a commitment of Ava. Ein lecha ben chornel, mi sheezek ba tere, the pshat is, not pshat that you have no commitments. But if commitments end up being something that are fulfilling, so you're a free man. Because you get fulfillment out of your commitments. That's why that's a ben chayr. And that's why that's the shpitz ben chayr. Is mi sheezek ba tere. That's the ideal ben chayr. And that is why Chazal tell us that if you took the Tanoim, you couldn't do anything to them. You put them in a prison, they had the Torah. You put Rabbi Akiva in a prison, he had the Torah. He didn't feel like, he was different than all the other prisoners. He had his fulfillment there in prison. He had a channel of the Torah which gave him life, wherever he was. So he was Emes ben Chayrin, you couldn't take the freedom. His freedom is Torah. Ein lecha ben chayrin el mishesek bater. That's Torah. The emes is that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim and they weren't able to listen. They weren't able to listen. The problem wasn't just that the work got harder. The problem is that their commitment to what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying wasn't there. The Archaim says they weren't bnei Torah, right? The Ramban. When it says, means a lack of ben Torah. What does that mean, lack of ben Torah? So most people learn, doesn't mean at all what it says. Hard work. Doesn't mean that. It means they weren't bnei Torah. That's not what it means. It means if they were bnei Torah, they wouldn't have been overwhelmed by the overwhelming work. They taka were overwhelmed by work. But the reason why they were overwhelmed by work is because they weren't yet committed to this new lifestyle. If they would have been committed to what the Torah wanted of them, for what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to commit for, they wouldn't have been overwhelmed by the work. They would have had an escape. But because they didn't have that, so I want to bridge the gap. What the Rechaim HaKadosh is saying, what the Pasuk is saying is one thing. Taka, it was Koytze Ruach and Avodah Kosha. They couldn't listen because they were overwhelmed by work. Comes the Rechaim and he says, they weren't Bnei Terah, because if they would have been Bnei Terah, they wouldn't have been overwhelmed by work. The fact that the work got in the way that they couldn't think, that was because they didn't have the other commitment. The commitment of Torah would give you freedom, even in that matzah. That's the reason why by Korach, we have matzah and morah together. Why do we have matzah and morah together? Morah is slavery. Matzah is cheres. Because the Yetzias Mitzrayim's oiftu, the accomplishment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was that we could never be slaves again. Because even if we would be thrust back into labor, we wouldn't be a veloy shomuel moishim because of Ruach HaMe'avayda Kosh. We would have the Torah with us. And if we would have the Torah with us, we will never be in that situation. So the matzahs together with the marah, not as a way of dampening the joy. It's increasing the joy. That even when we'll be in a matzah of marah, we still have our cheres. That's why you have korach, the matzah marah together. And that's what Klal Yisrael didn't have yet. Klal Yisrael didn't have yet that peace. They didn't have the peace of Kutzel Chavet. Now, what kind of Eved are we talking about? You have a mitzvah to free. Shiluach Havodim. The Havodim that go out by Yovel. Now, those Havodim are very different kind of Havodim. Those Havodim, not like we were in Mitzrayim. And Eved Ivri is Imcha B'Maychel, Imcha B'Mishta. The Eved Ivri has the best lifestyle. You give him the food that you have or better. If you have one pillow, he gets the pillow. He's not like we were in Mitzrayim. He's living a life. This Eved said, Ahavti es Adoini es Ishti ves Bonai. Lo yeitzei chofshi. He's ready to stay. He still leaves. Right? He still leaves. Why does he leave? Because Avodai heim v'lo yavodim l'avodim. Because the idea of Yovel is to teach a person that there's a commitment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that's where our Avdus is. That is what Vayitzavim El B'nai Yisrael. Because the reason why they couldn't hear Mikoytze Ruach Me'avayda Kasha is because they were overwhelmed by being Avdei Parai. If they would have been Avdei Hashem, then they wouldn't have been overwhelmed by being Avdei Parai. Because they weren't Avdei Hashem, they couldn't hear what Moshe had to say, Mikoytze Ruach Me'avayda Kasha. Memela over here, Moshe taught them the chashivas of being an Eved Hashem. which is the whole parasha of Shiluach Avodim. That's why here it is where Shiluach Avodim was told class. Not because they couldn't hear it another time, because here's where they needed it. Hashem told Moshe, Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael. This was a response to Moshe Rabbeinu. He told them to educate Klal Yisrael. And then they will be able to hear you. Moshe said, how can I get to Pari if I can't get to them? So Hashem said, first you have to educate them. Vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael. And then it could be Miskayim fel Pari melech Mitzrayim. Moshe had a good taina. When Moshe told Hashem that Klal, and that's why Hashem didn't get angry here. When Moshe told Hashem that Klal Yisrael, Eich Yishmeini Paroi, Hein Lebnei Yisrael Leishom Weilai, he was talking about they're not committed. So Hashem said, you have a taina. Vayitzavim El Bnei Yisrael. Educate them. Educate them what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Avodahem V'loi Avodim L'Avodim. And that will make them, the Shiluach Avodim was now, that will make them today free people. And they will be able to hear you. And then if they'll be able to hear you, then you could go El Pari Melech Mitzrayim. And I believe, in the end of last week's parasha, Moshe wasn't questioning the Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe was questioning Klal Yisrael. Moshe was saying, the bottom line is, Pari is increasing the work, and the people are losing hope. If the people are losing hope, it means that they're not living up to what they have to live up to be freed. Moshe wasn't questioning Chas V'Shalom the Rabbeinu Shalom. He was questioning Klal Yisrael. So, and the same thing at the end of the parasha. When Moshe had the taina, he wasn't saying, Hashem, you're not keeping your word. He's saying, we're not living up to it. They're not being saved. But he wasn't putting the blame on Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. That wasn't the point. He was saying, Klal Yisrael. And that's the ikar part of the chelos of Mitzrayim, was becoming Avdei Hashem. By definition, if you're an Eved Hashem, you're never an Eved Pari. If your commitment ends up being, your ultimate commitment is to Rabbeinu Shalom, you're not a slave to anything else. Now, if you look in your own lives, you'll see how true this is. In every step of life, the nisyonis that we have, financial nisyonis, yetzahara nisyonis, other nisyonis, the more committed you are to Rabbeinu Shalom, the more you're not committed to anything else. The more you say, this is it. This is my commitment. The more you're committed to Rabbeinu Shalom, the freer you are to do anything else. Because nothing else holds you down except for that. And that's the whole shlav of the end of last week's parasha, beginning of this week's parasha, is taking a nation and making them committed to the Torah and thereby releasing them from any other commitments. Okay.
Is there any time you say to make them when they're both on the table at the same time? Feel grape juice in one.
There are those who hold. There are those who hold, you even make it together. I try to hold not that way. But there are those who hold it even.
So even if grape juice in one, you took grape juice and then you had wine.